material is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to read for your hearing verse 1 and then skip to verse 8 through 10. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, and then we'll read verses 8 through 10. The text says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord.'" Underline, rejoices in the Lord. "In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. He," still referencing the Lord, "raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of the saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." As you take your seats, I want to talk today about a mother's praise. A mother's praise. The main character of the text today is a sister by the name of Hannah. Before we talk about her, I want to make mention of the fact that there are some people who get so distracted by difficult people and difficult circumstances that they forget or they just stop praising the Lord. But I would like to hope that there's somebody here today that knows that no matter how challenging your life may become, you owe God some praise. Can I get a witness in this house? You owe God some praise. Now, this Hannah had a husband who had another wife. Now, for many of us, we couldn't go on to the next verse, let alone the next chapter. We would have been stuck right there. Hannah's husband had another wife. That was terrible. But make it even worse, when Hannah and her husband and his other wife went to the church of their day, the temple, the other wife had a way of making mockery of Hannah, talked about how barren she was. She didn't have any children. In the time of our text, it was very bad. It was a cloud of suspicion around a married woman not having any children. And to make it worse, the other wife, she's not just the other woman, the other wife, keep rubbing it in Hannah's face. But Hannah kept on going to her church, kept on praying, kept on praising. And when God got ready, God gave Hannah a son by the name of Samuel. In our text, the second chapter, Hannah is bringing Samuel back to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. Now, if you eavesdrop on Hannah's praise, I think there are some very valuable lessons for us as we try to live this Christian journey. I thought this was appropriate, since Hannah was a mother, to call it a mother's praise. Here's what I'm talking about. We should rejoice about God's handling of the wicked and the saints. Again, we should rejoice about God's handling of the wicked and the saints. So let's start talking about rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 1 clearly shows that Hannah is in process of rejoicing in the Lord, praising the name of our God. I got three things I want to tell you about rejoicing in the Lord. Are y'all ready for them? The first one is, God is so worthy of our praise. What's the first thing I'm saying? God is so worthy of our praise. In the text, Hannah does not just offer general praise. She's very clear that she's praising the Lord. And when you and I look at our lives, things may not be as well as we want them to be, but you got to say that the Lord has still been good. I mean, the Lord has provided. I know why Hannah was praising so much. The Lord had just given her a bouncing baby boy that she had prayed so hard for. But there's somebody here that have family members and loved ones that you need to praise God for. And some of us have two types of people to praise God for. Some of us need to praise God for the good people he's put in our life. Somebody say amen. And then there's another crowd that need to praise God for the people that wasn't so good that he put in your life. Because how many of y'all know it takes both to make you who you are? You see, if we had never cried, if we never had any burdens to bear, if we had never been through stormy weather, if we've never had troubles that we had to go through, we would not be the people that we are today. It is the trouble that makes us stronger. It's going through testing that gives us testimony. And many of us sitting here today, we cursed going through the storm, but now that we got through the storm, we can look back and say, I'm stronger because the storm didn't break me. The storm didn't steal my joy. The storm did not steal my praise. The storm did not steal my smile. I'm still standing. People were trying to wipe me out, but I'm still in this situation. And it would have never happened. I would have never known how strong I was had I not gone through some stormy weather. Is that your testimony? I mean, that's what the song is all about. God is a waymaker. You can't sing that song until you've been in some situations where it looked like there was no way out. And then the Lord showed up and made a way because he is a way maker. Don't let the devil make you think that you have nothing to praise God for. If you got some family members and some loved ones that halfway love you, you ought to tell the Lord thank you for that. If you got a piece of a job, you ought to tell the Lord, thank you for my piece of a job. If you don't have a job, you ought to tell the Lord, thank you, sure enough, because it don't look like y'all missing any meals. You don't have no job and you eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks every day. You ought to be the first one to tell the Lord, thank you for being my provider. We could add health to the list of things to give God praise for. The older I get, the more conscious I become of how important it is to take care of your health. I've seen so many people who've worked like a dog all of their life. And just as soon as they was able to retire, the hip went out, the knee went out, the ankle went out, the heart went bad, something went wrong. That golden years mean you need some gold and you need some years. You got to take care of your health. And you know, I used to think that you had to get old in order to get sick. How many of you know you can be young and sick? You don't have to be old to be sick and land up in the hospital somewhere. You could be young, sick, and land up in the hospital somewhere. And so if you were able to get up this morning, and you may not have swung your legs out as quickly as you used to, but if you can get your legs out of the bed on your own accord, you ought to tell the Lord thank you. If you could go to the bathroom and handle your business all by yourself, you ought to tell the Lord thank you. I've gone to hospitals and I've seen members who have problems taking care of themselves when it's time to relieve themselves. And I cannot imagine having to go through that myself. But if the Lord has allowed you to get up and you're able to do for yourself, you don't know how blessed you are. Now, we could talk about peace of mind and joy, but I got to at least say something about salvation. You ought to praise God because no matter what you're going through right now, babies, it is temporary. You and I have a paid for ticket that when this life is over, we shall wear a crown. We shall be up in glory. And what I love about this ticket is can't nobody revoke the ticket. Can't nobody recall the ticket. Can't nobody pull it back in. Can't nobody say you've been denied. It has been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get you to see that no matter how troubled your life may be, God is so worthy of our praise. Are y'all with me here? Secondly, we ought to praise God in his house. What is he talking about? He's talking about praising God in his house now. When Hannah talks about praising God in chapter 2, it's important to note where is she at? She is in the temple. That is the Lord's house of the Old Testament. Listen, you ought to praise God everywhere you go. Praise him in your car, praise him in the shower, praise him in the bedroom, the bathroom, the kitchen, wherever you go, you ought to take some praise with you, but you ought to show enough praise him when you get to the Lord's house. It's something seriously wrong for you to come to a worship service and never praise the Lord. That the book says that we ought to praise God in his sanctuary. Now listen, you ought to do it just because the Lord said do it, period. Let's assume I done said that 1,000 times. Do it because the Lord said do it. Yes, yes, yes. But here's another benefit besides just being obedient. The more you praise him, the better you'll feel. I can't get no help over here. I said the more you praise him, the better you'll feel. Praise is therapeutic. It helps you get your head right. You see, it's hard to praise and be depressed. It's hard to praise and be angry. It's hard to praise and cuss at the same time. When you praise God, it raises your mind to a higher level and it carries your emotions along with you. I mean, if you holler, and so I understand some of us done got sophisticated and we don't like to holler no more, but it's something about hollering. It helps me that I do a lot of reading and writing in the course of the week. I look forward to Sunday morning because Sunday worship ought not just be an intellectual exercise. It ought to be a holistic experience. Your intellect ought to be challenged. Your emotions ought to be challenged. Your volition ought to be challenged. You ought to have something, my elders would say, you ought to have a religion you can feel sometime. The more we praise him, the better we feel. And when we praise him, it blesses those in the vicinity of praise. Not only is praise good for the praiser, but praise is good for those in the vicinity of the praise. Attitudes are contagious. Have you ever come to church? Now, don't say yes to this. Don't say yes to this. Could you imagine? Scratch that. Could you imagine going to church? And when you got to church, you had a mind that you wanted to worship God. I mean, that's why you got up, put on church clothes, and got here on time. You came here to worship. And you messed around and sit next to the wrong person. The person you sit next to ain't studying no worship. They looking at their Facebook on their phone. They texting the person sitting on the other side of the church, talking about, girl, do you see what she's sitting over here wearing? Their mind is somewhere everywhere except worship. And before you know it, we'd have made it to the offering period and you haven't even started worshiping. And by the time you get yourself back together, Reverend has started growling in his voice. We almost at the benediction. Now you finally settle in for worship. You sit next to the wrong person. Sometimes the reason why you got to choose your seat selectively and wisely, you want to sit next to a worshiper when you come to worship. You want to be the person that say, I want to sit next to them because whatever they have, I want some of that. Now, I might not be able to do it like they do it, but if I can just get a piece of that, I'll tell you one thing. If I wasn't preaching, y'all know where I'd be sitting at? Next to Sister Hawker. It's some of y'all I would never sit next to. But if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be sure enough sitting next to Sister Hawker. I tell you one thing that's not going to happen if I sit next to Sister Hawker. I ain't going to go no sleep. I ain't going to be passing no notes. I tell you one thing. I might not know what Reverend preaching about, but when Sister Hawker moves, that's my cue. I need to be moving. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Lest y'all think I'm just making this up. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation." Listen, all of this must be done for the strengthening of the church. When you and I come to worship, we ought to bring something that strengthens the church. Now, what you bring might be amen. What you bring might be praise the Lord. What you bring might be a waving of your hand. You might bring a song. You might bring a prayer. Everybody can bring a smile. Even if you don't have all of your teeth, use the teeth you got and smile and let people know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. You ought to feel better when you come to worship. But not only is God worthy of our praise, not only should we praise him in the house, thirdly, praise him with your lips and life. Praise him with your lips and life. Hannah does not just have a nice song in 1 Samuel 2, but she has an offering. She has a sacrifice. She's giving her son. Don't miss this. She didn't come to just get her praise on. She also came to give her son to the Lord. You know, we treat this as if it's an either or situation when actually it's supposed to be a both and situation. God does not ask for lip or life. God wants lip and life. Hebrews 13:15-16 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. But listen, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." Sacrifices, God is pleased. He does not want to just hear your hallelujah on Sunday and then you live like a demon Monday through Saturday night. The Lord wants us to be able to praise him on Sunday and then live a praise song on Monday through Saturday. Now, some of us are working on getting our Sunday stuff together. But what the preacher is reminding you is, I don't care what you do on Sunday, it does not erase what you did on Monday. Why y'all looking at me like that? Y'all know I'm sensitive. The Lord wants us to worship him, to praise him with our lips and our very lives. Let's move along. Hannah's content of her praise says, "Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm rejoicing in you because I trust that you are able to handle the wicked." This is verse 10 stuff. It talks about those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. Verse 9 says, "But the wicked will be silenced in darkness." Can I tell you two quick things about the wicked? First of all, God can handle the wicked. Hannah understood this because her husband's other wife had to stop mocking her after Samuel was born. I'm not sure what other experiences Hannah had to confirm the fact that God could handle wicked people. But the preacher came by to tell you that no matter how big and how bad problems people may be in your life, God can handle them. If it's bullies in the church, if it's drama in your family, if it's a terrible job, if it's a lying politician, if it's a thug in your community, whatever problem you have, God can handle it. Psalms 37:1-2 says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Somebody say soon wither. They will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Because we are Christians, we don't have to walk around having panic attacks and angry and full of anxiety and always afraid of what's going on. The God we serve is a big God, and he can handle whatever wickedness is going on around us. Praise God for that. But be careful what you ask for. The second thing I want to tell you about the wicked is don't be wicked. Now, we like the fact that God can handle the wicked, especially when we're talking about somebody else. But let me remind you that God handles all wickedness. And sometimes the prayer you sending up for the deacons, the preacher, the choir, the usher, if you're not careful, that prayer gonna bounce around and tear up your glass house. God does not just handle the wickedness in others. He will handle the wickedness in you if he has to. Now, some of us think that we are far from being wicked. I pray that that's true, but let me just make sure. You do remember, perhaps you remember, some of y'all don't remember. When I was a child, we had training, and one of the things they taught us when I was a child in Sunday school was that there are sins of commission, and then there are sins of omission. Now, we normally preach about the sins of commission. That is adultery, stealing, lying. These are sins of commission. This is when you do something wrong. What I'm telling you now is there's also a whole nother list, sins of omission. That's when you fail to do right. This is when you know you're supposed to love people, but you don't. This is when you know you're supposed to worship God with enthusiasm, but you don't. This is when you know you're supposed to invite and bring people with you to worship and to growth group, but you don't even try to do it. Listen to what James said. James says in 4:17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Can you feel me? You can get in trouble with God not only for what you do bad, but you can get in trouble with God for what you don't do right. Now, if you are wrong, if you've done wrong, if you failed to do right, listen, you don't have to perpetrate. You don't have to get angry. Listen to the remedy for sin. If we would confess our sin, God is faithful and God is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all iniquities. Listen to me. Everybody sitting in this place and standing in this place got some sin in their life. Nobody in here is worth impressing. If you got something wrong with you, instead of you perpetrating, act like you got it all together, putting on for me and I'm putting on for you, all of us need to tell the Lord, Lord, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Clean my heart. Clean my mind. Clean my behavior. The remedy for any level of wickedness is repentance. Finally, I want to tell you that Hannah praised God, not only because of how God can handle the wicked, but finally for our consideration for how God can handle the saints. Verse 9 says that he will guard the feet of his saints. Earlier, he talked about how verse 8, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. 3 points and I'm about out of here. First of all, make sure you are a saint. It would be terrible for you to be shouting about what God does for the saints and you are not included on the list. It would be terrible for you to be around here shouting on credit, shouting about what God gonna do for somebody else. Baby, make sure you are on the list. How do you become a saint? You got to ask and trust God to save you because Jesus paid it all. Have you not heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Get it good now. It does not matter how many times you come to church. Doesn't matter how much money you give in church. Doesn't matter how enthusiastic you are in church. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you are on your way to a burning hell. But I thank God if you get Jesus in your life, he'll help you find the right church. He'll help you with your wardrobe. He'll help you learn the songs. He'll help you get your behavior together. Don't put the cart in front of the horse. You need Jesus in order to be a saint. Secondly, you and I must make sure we hope in God. Hannah was not just wishing that the universe would be kind to her. She did not subscribe to the law of attraction. That is, you think positive thoughts and somehow the universe conspires to give you what you think about. This was not the nature of Hannah's praise. Hannah praised God and believed that God was able to fix whatever was broke in her life. She understood that no matter how poor a person may be, God was able to raise them up. Now, this really doesn't ring true for us today because we know so many rag to riches story. You would have to dig back into the time of the text to understand how abnormal it was for anybody born poor to ever do anything other than die poor. It was not a caste system, but it was about as close to a caste system as one could hope for. But Hannah understands that no matter how poor a person may be, in the hands of the Lord, God can pick them up. Can I get a little bit closer to your situation? No matter what your lot in life may be, God is able to turn that thing around. You can be broke in the morning and by noon, the Lord can make a way somehow. You can have aches and pains in your body, and before it's dinner time, God can turn that thing around. It's true that there really is nothing impossible for the Lord. Finally now, not only should we make sure we are a saint, not only should we hope in God, lastly, let God use you. What's the last point? Let God use you. It caught my preaching attention that as Hannah gave God the praise, she mentioned how God can give strength to the king. She did not mention the priest. She did not mention the prophet. She mentioned the king. This reminds me that God owns the whole world. Psalms 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God is so much bigger than our little church buildings. When Ephesians 2:10 talks about we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we ought to be doing good works. You ought not think the only good works on the list is preach a sermon, pray a prayer like a deacon, sing a song like a choir member, smile like an usher, that God owns the whole world. God sent not just the priest, not just the prophet, but King David was sent by God. I wish I had some young person's attention to understand that God can call you not just to be a preacher, but he can call you to be a saved police officer, a saved school teacher, a saved accountant, a saved plumber, a saved electrician, a saved city council person, a saved mayor. You ought not restrict God to just a bunch of preachers, deacons, trustees, choir members, ushers, media tech. This whole world belongs to God. We are the salt of the earth. You're not just the salt of the church. You ought to be saved in school. You ought to be a Christian on your job. When you're catching the bus from A to B, there ought to be a Christian from A to B. You ought to let God use you. not just in the church, but in our families, in our communities, even in our businesses. Can I close now? I said, can I close now? I've been trying to get y'all to think about this mother's praise. Try to get you to see that Hannah had been through some things. But I think one of the things that helped her get through it, instead of just fall apart in it, was that Hannah knew how to praise the Lord. And you know, it's Mother's Day and everybody's trying to be in a chipper spirit. But the truth of the matter is, somebody right here is going through some stuff. And I think if Hannah could speak for herself, I think she would tell everybody in the room, learn how to give God some praise. It does not matter what you're going through on your job. It does not matter what the doctor told you about your health. Does not matter what's going on among family members and friends. Learn how to give God some praise. Oh, I know you don't always feel like praising them. Oh, I know there are times where you really don't feel like making a joyful noise unto the Lord. But the preacher came by to tell you, if you would just do it, even though you don't feel it, the Lord has a way of lifting heavy burdens. Can I have a few more minutes of your time? We ought not praise God only when we feel it. We ought to praise Him in obedience to His command. And two things ought to always be on your praise list. Praise Him that no matter how many wicked people you have in your life, God will handle the wicked. Oh Lord, fret not yourself because of evildoers. They are soon cut down. Oh yeah. And then always give God some praise, because no matter how bad things may be in this moment, it won't always be like this. I'm just about finished now. Oh Lord, Hannah could tell you from firsthand experience, yes, it was bad when I did not have a child of my own. It was bad going to the church year after year, listening to the ladies make mockery of me. But Hannah would tell you, I kept on going to my church, and I kept on praising His holy name, and then the Lord turned my situation around. Isn't God all right? I kept on going and I kept on praising, and then the Lord He turned my barrenness to fruitfulness. Isn't God all right? I kept on going and I kept on praising. And then the Lord sent a Samuel into my life. Can I preach to somebody here? I know trouble is in your life, but keep on coming to church and keep on praising his name. Sooner or later, God will turn this thing around in your favor. I got to get out of here, but please hear the preacher say, it won't always be like this. No, it won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concern in you. It's not your imagination. God has planted a concern in all of our hearts. It is the Lord that gives us a mind to serve him. And what I love about my Lord is he will finish the good work he began in you. Isn't God all right? Now I know what gets us. If God is doing a good work, why do I have to cry so much? If God is doing a good work, why is it is one mountain after another mountain, one burden after another burden, one trouble after another trouble, one storm after another storm? Why do I have so many troubles? If God is doing a good work, I tell you why. God is perfecting that concern, that concern in you. I know you don't want to hear it, but sometimes we have to be tested so we can have a testimony. I'm trying to get out of here, but it's Mother's Day, and I know there are some mothers who are so disappointed with your children. You gave so much. You sacrificed. You went without so they could have. You went without so they could have opportunities, so they can have chances that you never had. You gave up school so they could go to school. You wore clothes extra years so they could have new clothes for school. You went without so they could get through high school. Some of our children, they really were not prepared to go off to college, but you tried to get them at least a year at Cincinnati State. And what did they do with all of your sacrifice? They spit on them. They kicked it to the curb instead of them going off to do something with themselves. They come home sagging, tattoos everywhere. Came by a cart, but got a tattoo every month. Yes, my Lord. I know it's disappointing. You had all kinds of dreams about how they would be a doctor, how they would be a lawyer, how they would at least have a good job by now. But here they are, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, and still don't have anything to show for their lives. 50 years old, still living in an apartment. 50 years old, still begging for money. 50 years old, still don't have anything going for them. And you look at yourself and say, well, maybe it was my fault. Maybe if I had been a better mother, maybe my child would be a better child. Listen to Reverend real good now. There are some things beyond your control. Sometimes you can do the very best that you know how to do. And God, got a child that gotta go through the pig pens of life. I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes it was not that you were a bad parent, but all of our children got a mind of their own. And sometimes they use that mind to turn left when it should have turned right. But I got good news for you. If you sow the seed, God will bless you for your faithfulness. Hold your head up. Put your smile back on your face. Give God some praise. God will take care of you. And then, if we told the whole truth, somebody is not all that excited about Mother's Day, because your mother did not do all the things that you wanted them to do. Listen to the preacher now. Listen to somebody that did the best I knew how to do with raising my children. Do you know what I learned? Children don't come with an owner's manual. There is no written plan of how to raise your children. Listen to me. Your parents probably did the best that they knew how to do. But even if your parents were grimy, even if your parents did you dirty, you're still standing. It did not kill you, it just made you stronger. Would y'all please listen to me? It does not serve your purpose, it does not serve your vision to walk around with all of this bitterness and all of this anger about what mama coulda, woulda, shoulda done. You gotta let it go and tell God thank you that after all I've been through, I'm still standing, and I got a praise in my heart, and I got a smile on my face, and I got heaven in view. It's gonna be all right. I need y'all to help me get out of here now. Just tell three people, God will turn it around. God will turn it around sooner or later. He will turn it in your favor. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God will God will. God will. God will. God will. He'll turn it around. I dare you to just make up in your mind that no matter how bad it look, I'm going to give God some praise. I dare you to make up your mind that even though I can't see how this is going to work out, I owe God some praise. It's been my experience that the more you praise Him, the better you're going to feel. It's been my experience, the more you praise Him, the better you can get through what you're going through. Now, praise is not magic. You can't hallelujah your bills away. Praise is not magic. You can't praise that x-ray away. But what praise can do, it can help you get your head right so that you can handle whatever's going on in your life so much better. Listen, there's some stuff we just got to go through. Now you can praise your way through or you can cuss your way through, but you're going through. You can go through in a positive spirit or you can go through in a negative spirit, but you're going through. What the preacher's telling you is if you just got to go through, why don't you go through with a positive spirit? And nothing helps you get your head right like praise. Remind yourself that no matter what you see, God can handle the wicked and God will take care of the saints. Just stay in your lane. Just keep praising Him. Keep showing up and watch God work this thing out for your favor. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day. Come and give God a chance with your life. You can use the form in your bulletin, but since you're here, you might as well just step out in the aisle and come on. If you know you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need to join, be reinstated in the church, would you come right here? Would you come right now? Just step out in the aisle and come on. My sister, my brother, if you know you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need to get yourself in church, if you know it's time to come back home, today is a good day. This place is a good place. No matter how messed up your life is, God loves you. Has a marvelous plan for your life. You really need to let the Lord do something with your life. You really need to let the Lord do something with your life. If you're coming, would you come now?